Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, November 20th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. In the chapter How It Works, we're on page 59. We'll begin with the ninth step, made direct amends, and end with the 10th step, promptly admitted it, and we'll be commenting on steps 9 and 10. Today's readers for the 12 steps, Susan R., the 12 traditions, Bonnie B., readers of the text, Reba P. and Sherry D. Our backup is Vanessa G. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our second hour host is Colleen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, November 19th, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,924. That's 21924. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,925. That's 21924. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Susan R. to please read the 12 steps.
Hello, this is Susan R. from Rhode Island, and these are the 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we have had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan R. And I'll now ask Bonnie B. to please read the 12 questions.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Lisa. Bonnie B. Recovered today by the grace of God. Here are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We always need to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And finally, step 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks all. Pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter How It Works on page 59, beginning with step 9, made direct amends, and ending in step 10, promptly admitted it. And we'll be commenting on step 9 and step 10. And I'll now ask Reva P. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Step 9, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Okay, so my name is Reva, compulsive overeater. I can't believe I'm excited to share about these steps because the last thing I wanted to do when I came into this program was change. I wanted everybody else to change. I wanted circumstances to change. I wanted God to change how he was orchestrating things in my life. Wow, we could do a whole podcast, and there are many podcasts on each of these steps. So what's coming to me about step 9 is I have come to learn that step 9 is sort of the culmination of the inventory process. I thought inventory was only step 4, and sort of, okay, so you do step 5, but it's 4 through 9. That is the process. And if I want the promises that everybody talks about at the end of step 9, I need to do all the steps in between. The other thing that comes to me is, this is not a quick fix. I'm sorry, please forgive me so I can feel better and move on with my life. This is about making things right and changing the way, because I see the way I think when I write my inventory, and I see how my faulty thinking based on self affects my behavior and my actions. And big revelation, I see how my disease, my thinking, my behavior affects other people. It's not just me. And how I hurt other people either overtly by things that I do that are hurtful or financial. For me, it wasn't so much the financial, or things that I don't do, where I don't show up for people. And it's hurtful. And I get the opportunity to change. The other thing that comes to me when I think of step nine is this discretion. By this time, you know, I've done 6 and 7, and I'm asking God, I'm remembering who's changing me, and I cooperate with God's direction, and there's discretion, because big qualifier, I don't want to harm others in the process and just make things work out for me so I can feel better. And then 10, continue, as I clean up the past, continue. I didn't come here to grow, but that is the growth step where I learn the skill set in 4 through 9, and I wash, rinse, repeat over and over and over. And you know, when I do it, God gives me lots of opportunities to grow. And nobody grows on a good day, so I get to do amends if and when appropriate as I do step 10s. So yeah, watch, ask, and then turn in step 10, 11, 12, as we all talk about. So what a wonderful way to live. I don't have to be living with all that gook. I have steps that help me live clean and right in alignment with this power. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Reba P., for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday this week, if you'll hold back this morning, who would like to share on what Reba read?
Phoebe from Boston.
Janet A.
This us.
Janet, I heard Judith. Okay, I've got Katie G, Janet B, Judith R, I think. Who'd I miss?
Sharon G.
Jennifer C.
I heard Amy.
Nancy,
I heard Jennifer. Nancy.
Robin P.
Robin
P. Okay. Costa Rica.
Robin P. Okay, Jennifer C.
Sarah
okay.
G.
Sarah? Was that Sarah?
Yes.
Okay.
And Bonnie D.
Thank you, Bonnie. Okay, let's stop with Bonnie, and I will tell you who I have. I have Katie G, Janet B, somebody R, Amy G, Jennifer C, Nancy R, Robin P, Sarah G, and Bonnie B. So hopefully, oh my goodness, I don't know if that's Janet or anyway, R. But let's get started
you
with
have
Katie
two
G.
Sarah G's.
Okay.
You have two Sarah G's. Good morning, Lisa. Are you ready for me? It's Katie G.
Okay, Katie, please, you go ahead, followed by Janet B.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G, recovered in Boston. And Lisa, thanks for taking the meeting. These steps are just so beautifully interwoven for me, right? Like, we're not making apologies, we're changing our behavior. However, I'm not perfect, and I definitely don't change my behavior perfectly. But I have lots of examples about how I rely on step 10, that's my step 9. So I showed up for an amend early on, and the harm that was done was that I was really unkind, only condescending and selfish. What I showed up for this employer, and I'm talking to her and letting her know the exact nature of my wrongs. And she says, okay, it's okay. You know, you have a lot of goals, but no people skills. And I smiled and fumed internally, went out to my car, asked God to remove it, and I made a phone call. And I looked at where I was selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid. But I really couldn't even get through self-seeking. I started laughing because she's right. I don't have people skills. I have been in the food, anorexia, and bulimia my whole life. So there's no way I have people skills. And thanks be to God, the anger was lifted, and I didn't have to make amends for my amends. And that's something else I would say. If you're on any step that is not step 9, 10, 11, or 12, please don't start making amends. I can tell you, I started making amends at step 1, And I did have to go back to people and make amends for my amends, which is really awkward. I also go through step 10. Thank you to God. I do a step 10 a lot of the time, at least once a day, because I do get disturbed. If that's not your experience, that is okay. But I look at not just where am I selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid, but also my character defects that are coming up. I like to consider the character defects that are coming up so that I can change, right? Like for a long time, I had no idea that the exact nature of my character defects. And so I would pray very vaguely about what needed to be removed. But if I see over a period of a week, and this happened a couple weeks ago, I was dishonest twice. And so I had to look at that. What is the fear that's coming up that caused me to be dishonest twice? Which for me is a lot. It's a lot to go back to someone and say I was dishonest because it cuts me off from God, dishonesty does. So anyway, there's so much to say on 9 and 10 and how life-changing they are. But I just want to say, if you haven't gotten there yet or you are there, the best part about these steps is we get to God, and God is where it's at.
Thank you, Katie G. And Janet B., you're up, and I think followed by Janet R. Janet B., please.
Hi, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So between step 9 and 10, there are so many gorgeous promises. So I just want to touch on a few. The bottom of page 84, it says, like, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, or for us, food. For by this time, sanity will have returned. And that was my problem. I was insane with food. I couldn't remember the horror of a binge even a day ago. And it tells me I'll seldom be interested in food not on my food plan. And if tempted, I recoil as if from a hot flame. And then it says, this happens automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward fresh food has been given us. Well, who gives it to us, right? If I don't give it to myself and I don't earn it, God gives it to me. God gives it to me when I surrender to him. It says, has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle. I believe, you know, if we distill this program to its essence, it is about miracles. It is about God coming into our hearts and lives and doing a renovation job on us so that we are not obsessed with food. We are not obsessed about getting our own way. And then it continues even like more gorgeous promises. We're not fighting it and we're not avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality. Okay, who placed me? God. A position of neutrality. That's a place where I am safe and protected as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. So I think of like neutrality. It's like maybe a land that the king owned, you know, that we learned about in middle school social studies. And I work the land. And as long as I'm on the king's land, I'm safe and protected. But if I wander off the king's land out of self-will or pride, thinking I know better, or resentment or fear, I'm not going to be safe and protected anymore. If I'm not in fit spiritual condition, I'm not safe and protected. These steps show me how to be safe and protected, how to clean up the wreckage that I do. And we are so lucky that we have such a benevolent king, a benevolent God, that if we do wander off the land, I believe he sends out a search and rescue mission for us. And these just beautiful steps tell us that we, that I, can always come home. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Janet B. And I'm not sure if I had Janet R. followed by Amy G. Was there a Janet R.?
It's Judith R. You had it right.
Thank you, Judith. Thank you so much. Please.
Thank you. Judith R. from Vermont, gratefully recovered. In the last few days, I am starting to really reap the promises of 9 and 10. When I first came to OA, I didn't know the ninth step promises were attached to the ninth step. I thought that the day you walked into Overeaters Anonymous, those were supposed to come true. So many years I was wondering, why aren't those happening? lately, the last really few days, I've started to notice that when a character defect comes up, I'm conscious of it. And I have a choice to try to fix it myself or to turn to God. And when I turn to God, maybe it might look to somebody on the outside that I'm fixing it myself, but internally, I know that it is my higher power who made me aware of, oh, I'm right in the middle of a character defect. I am now judging somebody, which I do all the time. And God, please, I don't know what God's going to do each time when I ask for help with judging someone, but it's starting to happen. And I'm like, oh my gosh, all this time I sort of thought that God, when God removed a defect of character, that it would just go away because God would go whoosh and bye-bye character defect. And now I am living into, aha, here is one, here is a character defect. Let's let God come in and see what God wants to do. So I've been recovered for a few years, but I feel like I'm just starting to reap the benefits. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Judith R. And Amy G., you're up, followed by Jennifer C.
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, everyone. My name is Amy G. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Maryland. Thank you so much, everyone, for a great meeting. You know, there's a great quote in one of my favorite quotes in Bill's story that he says, out of the alloy of drink and speculation, I was to forge a weapon that would turn around like a boomerang and shred me to ribbons. And by the time I got to steps 9 and 10, it became very clear that the dynamic duo of my insane thinking and my feelings that drove me, my feelings of fear and insecurity, created a weapon that not only hurt myself, but hurt others and blocked the sunlight of the spirit, and which was to my God. And the beauty of the 9-step promises is what allowed me to continue to build in self-awareness and a relationship with those, with my God. And I also feel, excuse me one second, I have my dog barking, in a relationship with God and others. And, you know, we talked about the 9-step promises, but there are so many promises for the 10th step for me. Repetition is the father in learning. I needed to grow in my concept of my relationship to God and letting go and turning over those feelings and starting to get self-aware about what were the lies that I were believing from my old behavior and how was it that I needed to change so that I could continue in my relationship with God, with myself, and with others. In this program, you can only coast downhill, another favorite slogan of mine, because I had to continue to grow. For me, in my humble opinion, being around for a few decades, is that the biggest thing for relapse is not continuing to grow in my relationship with myself, with others, and my God. And the 10th step for me is a way to always self-correct. You know, my GPS, to be correcting in the right way. Where am I being selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid? I need to constantly be aware of that. And the beauty of this program is now I have a new instruction manual that allows me, and not a weapon, right, that allows me to live a life free of that insane thinking and not being driven by my feelings and my character defects, because I am now aware. I may not always act immediately, but I am aware, and I can take appropriate action. I have a choice now. I have options now. What a blessing. How blessed are we in this program? And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy G. And Jennifer C., you're up, followed by Nancy R.
Good morning. This is Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. Thankful for all of you this morning. You know, the spiritual principle of step 9 is love, and the spiritual principle of step 10 is perseverance. This process is all about healing the key relationships in my life. This book tells me that the first and most important relationship that needs to be healed is my relationship with God. Then it tells me that my relationship with myself needs to be healed, which is a byproduct of my relationship with God. And then it tells me that I have to work at my part in healing the relationships in my life. And above, right, just a little bit above, I've asked God's protection and care over me and over my life with wild abandon. Half measures avail us nothing, right? Half measures of this work avail me nothing. But ultimately, that sentence is connected to this wild abandon with God. All in. I'm now completely dependent on God's care and God's protection. So guess what? I don't have to be so concerned with myself anymore. That's the freedom, right? Like, that's the freedom. God teaches me how to eat. He teaches me how to live. And he teaches me how to stay right and in alignment with him and with myself and with others. And so what do? I stay spiritually awake. This book tells me that my whole focus at this point, when I get to this point in the steps, the bullseye is radical faith. Page 16, 24/7 faith, or what happens? I perish. Okay, so when I start to sink, I now have a game plan. Step 10, I ask immediately, I stay awake to where I am spiritually. God loves me perfectly and beautifully, right? He wants nothing in my life that's going to harm me. First, he deals with the food. It's my greatest demon in my life to destroy me. Then what? Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Ask at once for those things to be removed. Why? Because that's not what God has for me today. I've asked him for his protection. I've asked him for his care with wild abandon. And I want to stay in right standing with him. And that's what he wants for me. I can trust him. I don't have to protect myself anymore. I don't have to, not ask for forgiveness because they haven't said they're sorry yet. It's okay. God will deal with them. You stay right. Trust God, clean house, serve others. There's no other way to live. And then guess what? We get to use all of our energy to loving other people, loving God, and loving ourselves. What better way to live? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. And Nancy R., you're up, followed by Robin P.
Good morning. It's Nancy R. from Northwest Illinois. I'm a recovered coaster. Wow, the shares so far this morning have been really touching me, touching my heart, touching my mind. We really can live in these promises, and I feel like I'm living in many of them today. I am celebrating the miracle of 3 years of complete abstinence and recovery. And I got here from working these steps with a recovered sponsor. And it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. And I am so grateful. I've never had this kind of long-term abstinence and freedom and recovery, which is the most important. And a big part of that is these two steps, 9 and 10, I wouldn't be here without these steps, without the willingness to go and make amends. And as others have said, not say I'm sorry, but say I was wrong and you didn't deserve to be treated the way I treated you. And you deserve better. And asking, are there other ways that I've harmed you? And being open to hearing them. And then as these beautiful, beautiful promises between these two steps. And then step 10 saves my life every day. And you know, because I am restless, irritable, and discontent. I have character defects. I am human. I need God in my life, my higher power in my life, to guide me and to just show up with how am I being selfish, dishonest, resentful, and afraid. And just looking at that with humility and asking God to remove these things. So that's just, I have a very grateful heart today. And that with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy R. And Robin P., you're up, followed by the first Sarah G.
Hi, thanks so much. Thanks so much for your service, Lisa. I'm Robin P. I'm very grateful. Recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I'm so grateful for this meeting. I'm really blessed to be on it and abstinent today. Just the ninth step, you know, it's such a blessing because there were people in my life who I just would never have had a relationship with them if it wasn't for the ninth step. And I have a relationship with everyone in my family, people I didn't think it would be possible to have a relationship with and who I would never think would want to be around me. And they do, and I do. And it's just due to the ninth step and the 10th step too. You know, I text at 10:11 to my sponsor every night, and I'm on a 10th step WhatsApp group with hundreds of people. And it's such a blessing. Anytime someone needs to do 10 steps, just say, someone just texts, are you available for a 10? You know, and then it's such a blessing to be on both ends of that, to be able to give a 10 and receive a 10. And just means a lot. It always turns my day around, no matter what's going on. And it feels like such a privilege and an honor to be able to help someone with that. You know, we're in Costa Rica again after being in London and for a month, and it's literally rained every single day. I've never been in Costa Rica during this month, and I hope I never am here again during this month. It's literally rained every single day that we've been here, and the bridge washed away to our town yesterday. So it's really trippy. So I just get to keep surrendering and trusting God, and really, you know, whatever I'm going through, you know, I just get to keep surrendering and trusting God. Trust God, clean house, help others. That's it right there. And how can I be of service to God and my fellows? And I felt like I was grieving being in London. I missed it a lot, and I had so many miracles and blessings there. And, you know, I have a lot of good friends here, and I just get to focus on being of service. There's a lot of charity work to do during this time of year, and I just get to see where am I meant to be of service, because instead of so I'm just so grateful to know that I have a choice today to you know, live in my recovery or to complain. So God bless everyone with a really blessed abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. And Sarah G., you're up, followed by Bonnie B.
Hi, this is Sarah G. from New Jersey. If there's another Sarah G., she can go first if she wants to.
Okay, I'll wait.
Sarah G. from New Jersey, you go, and then the other Sarah B., okay. Sarah G. will be after Bonnie. Thank you.
Okay, terrific. I always wanted to meet that other Sarah G. Anyway, we'll have to talk. Anyway, I just wanted to say that this incredible step of 9 and 10, it's amazing. The promise of not fighting anymore, not fighting food, not fighting people, and not fighting my fears has been gifted to me in such a miraculous, way. And even seeing so much of it this weekend, but clearing away the wreckage of my past and feeling really reborn to be able to have the power that's given to me by my higher power. And I wanted to say just a little story of what happened to me once. I had made an amends to a friend that I was really, really struggling with, a very, very dear friend. And I had to really amend my way of being and being in the program. And it was after a few months. And then I had kind of slipped away from program a little bit. And this friend of mine who I work with every single day said, "Are you still doing that program? Because you're a lot easier to get along with when you do." And I was like, wow. I could get super offended by that. Like, who are you to, like, look into my program? Or be like, you know what? God's talking to me through her. And whenever anything happens to me now, I say, God's talking to me through this person, through that person. And you know what? She got me right on the track again. And thank God we have a really good relationship, because I've changed. And step 10, all through the day, I think of, you know, as I go through challenges or things that I'm grateful for, I think about them, because at night I also, I'm on a train, a 10th and 11th step train, and I'm going to speak about it to someone that evening. So it keeps me focused all day long. I'm so grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah G. from New Jersey. And Bonnie B., you're up, followed by the other Sarah G.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service today. Bonnie B., compulsive overeater, recovered in Fort Myers, Florida, by the grace of God today. You know, when I came into program, step 9 terrified me. And I actually said to my sponsor, if you tell me I have to make amends to the people in that category that it says I'll never make amends to, I will leave this program. And she said, no. She said, no, it's a willingness, and God will show you when. You know, I'll fast forward. I did make some amends. I had many amends in that first category. I did instantly. I had 3 in the maybe, never, and I had 3 in the never. The 3 in the never were connected to an assault on one of my daughters, where she attempted suicide twice after by a family friend. And I'm telling you, if I had done any of those amends earlier than I did, I would have destroyed the entire situation. It took 10 years to the month after that assault that I did those amends. And it was 1,000% God's timing. I was willing. I had prayed for years that God would give me a peace within my heart to be able to forgive them and to see them as he saw them. And only this program allowed me to do it. But if I had rushed into that, or if I had had a sponsor that said, yes, before you can move on, you have to do all of them, I would have injured everyone, and it would not have been authentic amends, because God had to swoop in. He had to give me a different set of glasses. He had to help me see what I couldn't see, which was, number one, my part, and then them as being hurting people, because hurt people hurt people. I basically held them hostage and blamed them for my daughter and for her well-being. And so I think the timing of the amends is incredibly important, and I think the heart behind it, which is the willingness. And then for step 10, which I absolutely adore step 10. You know, when the food is down, I have that very quick on the inside of me. I know immediately I just went someplace that was not one of God's ideals. And I run into those amends, because I know that I don't want to be separated from God. God does for me what someone else had mentioned. He illuminates that thing on the inside, that thing that doesn't look like him. You know, my heart's desire on a daily basis is to look like, sound like, act like, and imitate my dear Savior. And this program helps me to be ever aware if I'm not doing that. So I think it's the timing of it, it's the willingness of it, it's asking other people for insight and encouragement, and then it's just trusting God. And I am so grateful for this program and for these beautiful steps, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. And Sarah G., please share with us.
Hi, this is the other Sarah G., just kidding, I'm from New York, so grateful to have a chance to claim my seat. And this, the big book is absolutely brilliant, and it is, it had to be written really by God. And, you know, I had made an amends, and just for peace between someone, between myself and someone else. And then it came up again somehow. And the way the other person had approached it, even though this is my inventory, I groveled to the person, and the big book says never to grovel, you know, and I didn't feel good after. And really what I have many 10 steps to do, and, you know, amends to, you know, that I need to continue to do. But really what I need to concentrate is making an amends to myself, that I have a place here as well. I'm not, you know, here to serve people. I'm here to serve God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sarah G. from New York. And we are on page 59 in the chapter, How It Works. And we are commenting on steps 9 and 10. Who else would like to share this morning?
Jim S.
from
Delaware.
Anita Shea.
Anita.
Pete,
thanks.
Kelsey M.
Kelsey? With a K, Kelsey? No, Elsie?
E, Elsie, yep.
Thank you. Okay, I have Jim S., Anita J., Pete B., Elsie M. I think that probably ought to do it. Jim S., you're up, followed by Anita J.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Jim S. I'm from Toledo, Ohio. I went on a rampage, and I hurt somebody. And I wouldn't have seen that if I didn't have a higher power watching over me every move I make. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim S. And Anita J., you're up, followed by Pete B.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is Anita J., recovered in Massachusetts. You know the song, I've Got the Power? I'm a little, that's not, the tune isn't quite right, but I have been praying for a long time, you know, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And yesterday, I don't know, it all came to being. I feel it. I feel God within me. And it's so timely that 9 and 10 are here. I always thought it was 8 and 9, and that could be why I've gotten into trouble, because you make the amend, but you continue. And I just want to mention about my son, who we had a wonderful coming together years ago. Well, that's, you know, he's older, things have changed, and I see it now. I was so all night thinking about all of this, because God showed me, yes, what I did was unintentional harm, because I made an assumption, and God showed me he may be 59 years old, but I saw the little boy, the wounded little boy, and everything in me melted. That's who got hurt. And now I know what to do about it. And I'm just asking God to show me when to do it. It's just such a wonderful feeling. I I don't know how I lived before this, but the continuing, this might never have happened if I had 9 and 10 together. And I will, so I'm just grateful. Can you hear us? I'm grateful. And I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. And Pete B., you're up, followed by Elsie M. Pete, press star 1. We can't hear you.
I'm sorry about that. Precious seconds ticked away. Thank you for taking the meeting. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I don't think that there was another step that actually made what, like, felt more intimidating and dangerous for me than step 9. And, you know, I almost had this, you know, you read the promises and, you know, they read them. I used to read them at every meeting. And you think to yourself, like, you know, these miraculous things are going to occur. And really what the 9-step promises do is they describe the way that you're going to or could feel, right? Like that's what it says, right? That's what's going to happen. And, you know, it's interesting because the way I was told is that, like, when I did my inventory, I made a list of people I hurt, right? And in my sex inventory, in my relationship inventory, I made a list of people I would hurt. And then I thought all of those people that I hurt, I was then going to make a 9-step to. Step 9, right? To make direct amends, which means to repair, not to change. It's not amend, it's direct amend. And so and I'm grateful for the recovered alcoholic in this instance that helped me through this and helped me understand, like, you know, you can't repair a hurt. You can't make up for a hurt. You know, we put scars on people that may never heal, and I'm sorry doesn't cut it. And that's not what this process is, step 9. It's about addressing the harms, and harm means material damage, actual or potential ill effect or danger, right, that I've caused. And we make up for that by, you know, doing what just regular people are supposed to do. We make up for the wrongs, for the harms that we've done. And in doing so, we offload the guilt and the shame and the remorse from the things, the tangible things we did to people. And then we have an opportunity going forward, because we're walking hand in hand with God in the sunlight of the Spirit, to reconcile our past and hopefully address the hurt that we've done to people, right? And there are different things, and I have to remember that. The word amend means to repair. And I have got to, for me, I had to come to the conclusion that there are people I hurt that I'll never fix. I don't have the opportunity. There's scars we put on people that never heal. And that's the cover charge to recovery. Lightening my load by going out and apologizing, telling people how horrible I was, letting them know I'm never going to do it again, is not an amends. And there's nowhere in our literature that has the word living followed by amends. There's no such things. We make direct amends, we clear away the wreckage of our past, and we walk forward with pride and dignity in the sunlight of the Spirit. And when that's freedom, and with that, I'll pass. I won't even touch on, you know, the magical step 10. I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete B. And Elsie M., please share with us.
Hi, this is Elsie M., also from Pennsylvania. I just have to speak about the 10th step. It has made such a difference in my life. I have been in these rooms since 2006, and I now have 13 months of recovery of abstinence, and that's the longest I've had, and I attribute that to doing a daily 10th step. I'm on a 10th step train, and I was taught by my sponsor that the slightest ripple in the pond warrants a 10th step. And so that's what I do. And I have a partner that I do it with for 2 weeks, and then I get another partner. And it holds me accountable to look back through my day or to where I am and say, okay, where have I been, you know, restless? Where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and fearful? And it really cleans things up. I just can't say enough about it. I feel like what used to happen is that things would build up. I would say, oh, that's not a 10th step. I'm fine. I would just kind of minimize it, and things would build up underneath. And then eventually I would pick up some extra bites, and that's how it would start. So I don't do that anymore because there's no building up underneath anymore because of the 10th step. So that's all I wanted to share. Thanks so much and have a great day.
Thank you, LCM. And we do have time for one or two more shares. We are sharing on step 9 and step 10. Anybody else?
Kelly S.
Sue A. from Delaware. Susan A. from Delaware.
Okay, Kelly S. and Susan A. Kelly, please share with us.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Kelly S. Kelly EYS, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thanks, Lisa, for taking the meeting. Man, what a wonderful meeting. So many great shares. I really wanted to share on these steps because they've just been and continue to be life-changing for me. I didn't dread 4 and 5. I dreaded 8 and 9. You know, it wasn't that I didn't want to change. I didn't really know I needed to change. You know, I had a problem. I had several problems: food, weight, people, circumstances, and life. I did not know I was the problem. And these steps, you know, all these steps really opened my eyes to that. And, you know, when I did make direct amends, as was shared earlier, I, you know, created harms in people I never could fix. And when I asked people, is there anything else? So I just want to say to you guys, these steps were the most painful steps I've ever done. And they were the most healing steps I've ever done. And if you want a high and you're an addict looking for a high, get through this work. Because I'm telling you, these steps will do it, because it gets you a connection with others and God like you've never had. So when I did these amends, you know, go in thinking, okay, well, I know what I did to hurt them. And then I say, what else have I done? And I listen to these people and I'm just like, what the heck? I had no idea. You know, I was so and still can be that man coming out of the cellar. Hey, you know, Ma, and Grand, the wind stopped blowing. I had no clue. I really thought my these had no effect on other people, but I didn't realize I didn't have an eating problem. I had a living problem, a relationship problem, and a life problem, right? And so I started to see this, and once I see it, this is how I can do, you know, can work these steps and change, right? You know, they say I didn't know what I didn't know. I couldn't see what I couldn't see. I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to know it. So what am I going to do about it? I don't freaking know. I don't know how to change this heart. Guess what? There is one who has all power, and that one is God. And God can change my heart. But I have to do this work, you know? And these steps were just unbelievable for me. And even, you know, I've heard, you know, we talk about these as a growing step, 10, 11, and 12. I've heard people call them the walk-around steps, and that's what I love. It's such a visual. This is where it really goes. This is life, right? This is when I'm walking around. I got to use these steps. It tells us on 84, we vigorously commence this way of living, right? So I have to continue this. And it's humbling. It's so humbling, but that's how I get close to God. It's through this work. So, you know, put down this food, do this work. You know, we do our part, and we have a partnership with God, and God does the changing. And yes, it's scary, but you know what? We have the hands of our fellows. We have the hand of God, and we can do this. And I'm telling you guys, it is life-changing. And those promises, too, like others, I didn't know you had to get through all 9 steps to have those. I didn't know that. So guess what? They come true if we do the work. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Kelly S. And Susan A., you have a minute. Please share with us.
Thank you, everybody. Susan A. from Delaware, a recovered compulsive overeater. I came in through another program. I'm 62. At 34, I came in, you know, and I always went up to step 9 and quit. I was introduced to vision after a terrible relapse with food. I've had a food addiction way long before I had any other addictions, but I had been using exercise and finally picked up the food and had a horrible relapse. But I came back in this time and I got a recovered sponsor, and I worked the steps, and I, you know, I just have done step 12 and I've been doing these 10th steps, and, you know, I realize
everything is changing. You know, I forgot about the promises. It's so interesting. I'm on the meeting today, and I read them in all these other meetings, you know, and they're all coming true. I went to a service the other day. I've never been able to handle grief, and I was present, and I was there. You know, I walk in the morning, I watch the sunrise, and I'm always the one who makes the sunrise. I make the clouds part, you know, it's always me doing everything. And I'm, you know, it was cloudy, and I was able to enjoy the clouds and not be pushing them away to suit me. I'm so self-centered, and just doing these daily 10th steps on the 10th step train has been such a gift to me. I still do have. Okay, thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Susan A., and thank you to everyone who shared today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, November 20th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,927. That's 21927. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Sherry D., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Happy to. Thank you so much, Sherry D., compulsive eater in Maryland. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. Thank you.